What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Katie Halper Show. I'm your host, Katie Halper. You can hear The Katie Halper Show every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on WBAI. That's 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. You can also find us on SoundCloud and iTunes. Make sure you subscribe to us and rate us and review us on iTunes, in fact. And please become Patreon subscribers. And to do that, it's so easy. You just go to patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. Again, that's patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. But you know what? It's even easier than that because, guys, ladies and gentlemen, or however you identify, do you want to be able to access The Katie Halper Show in your podcast player app, whatever that is? Because it turns out you can actually do that, okay? It's really easy. I'm going to explain how you do it. Here's what you do. Ready? This is how, if you subscribe to our Patreon and you want to access it easily without going to find it, it's so easy. You log into Patreon, okay? Then you click on The Katie Halper Show. You click on Overview. On the right, you'll see Audio RSS link. And under that, you'll see Add This Private Link to Your Favorite Podcast Player. Copy the link, okay? Now, email yourself that link so you can access it on your phone. So again, you go onto Patreon, you click on my show, or you're on the Katie Halper, you click on my show, click on Overview. On the right, you see Audio RSS link. And under that, Add This Private Link to Your Favorite Podcast Player. So you copy that link. You email yourself that link. Now, you go into your email from your phone and you copy the link you emailed yourself. Now, you go into your podcast app, so iTunes, podcast, whatever. You click on library at the bottom. Then you click on edit at the top right. And then you click on add a podcast by URL. Then you paste that link and then you press subscribe and that's it. All of the bonus episodes will show up in whatever you listen to. Okay, isn't that awesome? Pretty exciting. Make sure you become Patreon subscribers because you'll hear extra content, bonus content. We interview a bunch of cool people, and also you'll get to hear me on the Jimmy Dore Show and my appearance on Struggle Session. So, hi everyone, welcome to the Katie Halper Show. This is a special episode about the United States of Care. We're going to get to that in a second, but very pleased to be joined by Adam Johnson, media critic at large, also the host of Citations Needed, a podcast that he hosts with Nima Shirazi. He started that podcast after he came on my show. You do the math. You figure it out. It's your call. Yeah. Excited. Thanks. Thanks for coming, Adam. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure. It's a big deal that Adam's on my show because I've only done a bonus episode of his, but he's so smart that I'm willing to overlook his silencing and marginalizing and erasure of women. You're welcome.
I told you it was a bonus episode when you came on. I said that we had that we were doing an episode on the Bernie Bro narrative, which I thought was a little too déclassé for the show itself.
Well, the issue I didn't say you weren't transparent. Anyway, I hope you don't.
You know how I feel about the
Bernard Brother Bernard?
The relitigating of the primaries. I try not to do it, but all if right, I fine. Do it, it's bonus material.
Uh-huh. Okay. Cool. Well, Adam, our listeners may have heard about the launch of an organization called United States of Care. It was launched Tuesday of this week, and it's not really clear what it is. It's very committed to bipartisanship, and a bunch of people were tweeting about it, and they had a real full court press with the hashtag healthcare over politics. And the board of this organization, and again, it's not clear what they're doing, which is why I'm being vague. It's not because I'm not prepared for once.
Right.
But the board includes people like Andy Richter and Bradley Whitford, but it also has policy people. I know. Bradley Whitford is, for some reason, slightly funnier
Bradley Whitford has been like for the last 15 years has sort of asserted himself as Josh Lyman, but like he's not, because Josh Lyman's not real.
Adam's referring to a character on West Wing.
Got off the phone with a whip. Last nose count, we're 5 votes down.
What the hell happened?
We don't know.
Give me names.
We're finding out.
Yeah, it's like Sam Waterston when he does those like Liberty Mutual commercials. He sort of seems like he's this district attorney, and he's kind of, you know, seems smart, but it's like he's just some actor reading a bunch of lines off the script.
Right.
Just how far up your ass is your head?
You know, except for the actors who I like, whose politics align with mine, like, you know, Susan Sarandon or Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Every other actor I dislike and I think is stupid.
Well, you know, Isaiah Washington is pretty good, and I only learned that because some woman who was saying fuck you about Susan Sarandon also included him. He's pretty woke. We follow each other now. It's a great thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You always managed to drop that in there, don't you?
What? No, we just started following each other. So
anyway, so no, I think that it's, it's Andy Richter. And then it's some other, there's this motley crew of corporate interest. You have Bill Frist,
who, let's save him for last because he's the best, but yeah, lots of executives. Lots of people from the Obama administration, the Hillary administration, John Favreau. It seems like it's the real brain.
Katie, there was no Hillary. There was no Hillary administration. She lost, remember?
No, not to me. The Hillary administration is happening right now. Sorry, the Hillary campaign.
Earth 2? Okay.
You know, I know that Hillary didn't win, because if she had won, I'd be brunching instead of protesting Donald Trump.
That's true. Everything would be perfectly fine.
Yeah. You saw those posts, those
signs?
I saw those.
Yeah.
Self-parodies without knowing it. It seems like it's the brainchild of Andy Slavitt, and he was the acting administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Service under Obama, and he's the director of the board of this organization. But yeah, it has people from Clinton's campaign, but not Bern Strider, the sexual harasser. Shout out to this organization for not hiring him. Wish I could say the same thing about David Brock. Sorry. And let's see, Andy Richter, Bradley Whitford, as we said, Mark Cuban, the entrepreneur.
Cuban, whose yacht is named after the Fountainhead, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
Noted man of the people.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban, woke billionaire.
And executives from places including Kaiser Permanente, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Dignity Health, and Trinity Health.
It's really weird and suspect and sort of came out of nowhere. But what was interesting about it was not what they said, it's what they didn't say.
Yes.
Although what they said was also bad. The whole thing has a kind of like no labels centrist vibe to it that I think anyone working in that space was automatically suspect about. I know that they did not mention single payer or Medicare for all.
Not once, right?
I know that John Favreau, not the actor. I think I was doing it. There's something about Mary reference.
What about Brett Favre?
Not the actor from Swingers.
Mike?
Nikki, great. Did you just walk in, or were you listening all along?
Don't ever call me again.
But Pod Saves America.
Yeah, he threw his weight behind it, probably because they all kind of met and got, you know, all these sort of Obama burnouts who want to maintain the AACA and make sure that we maintain what is effectively, you know, the AACA is basically a huge bailout to the healthcare industry, insurance industry. You know, broadly speaking, it's morally better than the alternative, which was to just tell everyone to go fuck themselves, where the government sort of takes care of the more extreme cases, takes care of pre-existing conditions, which was a huge, huge victory, but really doesn't make any kind of existential overhaul of healthcare. It maintains the for-profit model intact. It just has the government sort of pick up the check for, you know, a certain percentage of the population. which is sort of the, I guess, a kind of textbook definition of what neoliberalism is, where it doesn't really attack capitalism at its core or try to, you know, fundamentally overhaul it. What it does is it keeps the key components intact and sort of helps out the more vulnerable and the more extreme cases of excesses. And so that's what this thing seems to be. It seems to be a kind of a sort of attempt at what they say, strengthening ACA, which is strengthening Obamacare, which is sort of a meaningless thing people throw out when they want to avoid talking about something fundamental like single payer Medicare for all. So they got together. They got a little Ocean's 11. And for some reason, they teamed up with Bill Frist. I don't know why.
Bill Frist, F-R-I-S-T.
Isn't that what I said?
I thought you were saying Frisk. But that's just because I get frisky when I hear about Bill Frist.
I'm a child of the 2000s. I remember Bill Frist.
Okay, it's true. You're right. I shouldn't be ageist.
No. I mean, I misspoke. I apologize.
It's okay. I forgive you. But yeah, Bill Frist, I don't know if people remember him. He's not just a Republican. He's a doctor. And he's not just a doctor, former Tennessee senator. He's also someone who told George Stephanopoulos he didn't know if HIV and AIDS could be communicated through tears and sweat.
Hey, now, you're a doctor. Do you believe that tears and sweat can transmit HIV?
I don't know. I can tell you.
You don't know?
I can tell you things like.
But wait, let me just stop you there. You don't know that you believe that tears and sweat might be able to transmit HIV?
He's also someone who, you know, called third trimester abortions totally medically unnecessary, which is a huge lie because the majority of them are performed for medical reasons.
Partial birth abortion is never, ever necessary to preserve the health of a woman.
He didn't want there to be a health exception. And I'm not making this up. He actually he's a cat killer. I don't even like cats. I like dogs, but I'm not into cat killing. And he went to shelters and told the shelters that he was going to he wanted to adopt the cats and then he would kill them. This is while he was in medical school. So guys,
for research purposes?
Yeah. But it wasn't on the up. It was not on the up.
No, I understand. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is weird. There's a lot of people in so to be clear, they claim they're not getting money from for-profit health insurance companies, which is a bit dubious because if you know anything about nonprofit healthcare companies,
there are a lot of those. And they're for-profit.
Yeah, they're not really nonprofit.
Right.
I mean, nonprofit is sort of a meaningless distinction. Sort of like similar with charter schools. People think nonprofit charter schools don't actually make their investors money, but they actually do quite a bit on tax breaks and pass through and all sorts of other sort of auxiliary things. And then so they take money from the Kaiser Family Foundation, which is huge, which was kind of the main propaganda wing behind ACA. They're funded by a lot of healthcare, so they don't take money directly from healthcare companies, but they take money from foundations, which take money from healthcare companies. ACA was Kaiser also was a huge partner with Vox and NBC, which were all Comcast entities, because Comcast was probably the number one propaganda outlet for ACA, for better or for worse, through MSNBC and through Vox and through Ezra Klein, who is sort of the biggest champion of ACA, because he really likes when people get home from their double shift at Church's Chicken and have three kids, and they really want to sit down and play with marketplace subsidies,
which is something he
wrote for Prospect, I think, back in 2010, where he was talking about how giddy he was at the marketplace in Obamacare, that people could sort of come home from work and shop around
shop
for healthcare,
around,
which is something that everyone loves to do,
right? Especially when you're run over by a car, let's say. That's always a fun time to do it.
Well, to add irony to this whole thing, the day this thing broke, I went on this rant about healthcare on Twitter about how stupid it was and how we needed a single payer. And literally, I'm not kidding, 5 minutes later, I cut myself on a can.
No.
In the recycling bin, really, really deep. Ended up needing 3 stitches.
What?
Cost me, 3 stitches cost me, it took about 45 minutes to do. Cost me about $375.
What?
I don't have health insurance because I'm a freelance writer.
That's over $100 per stitch.
Yeah, so I think God was punishing me there. But anyway, and then John Favreau, he claims that he's actually a huge supporter of Medicare for All,
right?
But yet back this group, which doesn't have anything, about Medicare for All or single payer, and he got dunked on pretty hard by Splinter News's Emma Roller. whose name was apropos, and she was rolling him.
Ooh,
it's pretty
nice.
Great. She said, here's what John, do you mind if I read it, Katie? I kind of taken over your show here. Is that all right?
No, I mean, it definitely undermines the claims I made at the beginning of the show. But no, you please do. And then,
Which was what?
That you erasure of women. But I do, you also, as long as we're going to reference Twitter, then yes. But we get to also reference my tweets, because as I want people to know, Andy Slavitt, the director of the board, he and I have been tweeting, okay?
So we'll get to Andy Slavitt. I'm doing
and
the Pod
John
Save America
Favreau
guy.
And Jon Favreau tweets about to me by name. He named
yeah,
text
pod,
me.
Pod, the Pod Save America podcast, which is sort of the Whole Foods of political podcasts. It sort of makes you feel good, but doesn't really say a lot. He said, I'm a Medicare for all advocate. I also want to make sure there's a path to get there, which involves building a movement and persuading people who don't currently agree, which doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
And Emma said, the path already exists. The movement already exists. The political will exists. What's lacking is a willingness to stand up for values that people agree that people already agree with, for fear of alienating people like Bill Frist. One of the more vexing things about this political moment is watching dudes who dream in Aaron Sorkin scripts, like Favreau, convince themselves they're the next Cesar Chavez because they have a podcast.
Woman sounds like the female version of you.
A lot of people were dunking on him because he kept skirting the issue of why he was supporting a group that did not support either Medicare for All or single payer, which are very similar but not necessarily the same thing.
Yeah.
And so you also had some burns at him. Do you want to read them? Okay. Well, I don't have them queued up here, man.
All right, I'll queue them up. Fine. All right. Wow. Okay. Here are my burns, my dunks. Ready? Here we go. So Jon Favreau said, I'm a Medicare for All advocate. So I responded, yeah. I tweeted, a plurality of voters and overwhelming majority of Dems support single payer. You guys tried running on middle of the road, moderate milquetoast positions before, and Trump is now president, and you know these things. And Jon Favreau wrote, I know that, Katie. That's why I'm for it. For candidates who support MFA, for whatever gets us there. And if this organization suddenly tried to derail it, I wouldn't be for this organization. My friend Andy Slavitt asked if I'd help out with the effort to get more people the healthcare they need. In my mind, that's MFA, but in the short term, it's also protecting ACA from repeal, getting Medicaid expansion on ballots, mental health, opioid treatment. I'm not here to persuade Bill Frist of the merits of a single payer healthcare system. I'm here to get sick people care, and outside this org, I'll be working to elect.
What do people like Jon Favreau, what does he think? What does he think that this organization exists for?
I mean, I don't know.
There's no other logical. I mean, I know he's sort of playing dumb here, but there's no logical explanation for this group coming up other than to protect the corporate wing of the party from an insurgent or populist effort in the primaries coming up. God, I can't believe they're coming up. Jesus Christ.
Take the wind out of the sails of single payer,
which is now, of course, supported by everyone from Kamala Harris to Senator Sanders to Kristen Gillibrand.
So, okay. Well, by the way, one other thing is that Jack Allison, who's one of the on Twitter, he's Jack Allison, LOL, and he's a co-host of Struggle Session, which I did the other day. But besides that, they're great. Leslie Lee is the co-host too. He said one other thing. What do you think of Verrett? And Jon Favreau wrote, I think it's the most important platform ever constructed. But I think he's being sarcastic.
Of course he's being sarcastic.
Okay, just checking. So no, some people
they're not fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not idiots. They're not like Peter Dow where they
yes,
like,
exactly.
Like some,
they're not
are,
Peter Dow.
Or in some bunker somewhere with, you know, looking at pictures of mother.
Right.
They're somewhat hip. And they have a little bit of credibility with even some people who are quote unquote leftist.
Right.
But I think that there's something deeply cynical here. And I think the reason why we know that is because of what it doesn't say. And I think I want to read the 3 points they have, right?
Okay,
this is so overshopped. Hold on. I need to rant about this for a second.
Okay. You already have it prepared? Cause I wanted to just explain.
I do.
All right, fine. Well, can I just set this as a back? Because I know we're talking about what they didn't say, but I want to say one thing, okay? Which is that
yeah.
I texted with Adam Gaffney, my other Adam, and because he's an actual doctor and he's great on healthcare. He's been on the show a bunch. Now, I texted him and I
could have been a doctor, okay?
Okay, but you're...
Had I been good at math and science and studied and graduated college, I too could have been a doctor.
Imagine if you'd been a surgeon and then you cut your hand, that would have sucked.
It's true. But I would have had healthcare if I was a doctor.
Yes, you're right. And you probably wouldn't have... Yeah, you would have been... Anyway, lots of sliding door scenarios. So he sent me a screenshot of this article, one of the articles that covered this. But according to this Bloomberg piece... it says the organization is trying to prepare for an eventual opening for bipartisan policymaking while heading off increasingly volatile swings in healthcare policy when political fortunes shift in Washington. Already, potential Democratic contenders for the 2020 presidential election are signing on to Senator Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All bill, which has more than a dozen co-sponsors in the Senate.
I am just very excited about the kind of support our Medicare for All legislation is receiving.
So, at least according to this article in Bloomberg, and I want to be clear, I'm not quoting the mission statement, and we're going to get through what they, you're going to tell us exactly what they say and what they don't say. But at least according to this Bloomberg piece, which I don't think issued a clarification or correction, it very much is about heading off volatile swings. And that is, as they put it in the next sentence, Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All bill.
It's there so when politicians are confronted by the base, e.g. people who actually care about politics and who aren't a flack, and they say, well, do you support Medicare for All single payer? They can say, oh, I support this plan by a robust coalition of progressives called U.S. I mean, it's a placeholder.
Right.
That's all it is. It's a placeholder. And so I want to read real quick their quote unquote three simple principles. And And I want to start by reading the tweet that tweeted out the image of the three simple principles. It said, "We are committed to solutions that make progress toward three simple principles." So hear me out. This is the most liberal thing I've ever heard in my life. They are committed to solutions that make progress towards. So here we have three layers of commitment. We have they're committed to something that is going to do something, that's going to do something else, that's going to move towards something, by the way, not achieve it, not accomplish it. And the United States of Care stands for three simple principles. Every American, number one, every American should have affordable, regular source of health care for themselves and their families. So here we have a very popular qualifier, affordable, which really gives the game away. Since, again, why not just say every American should have regular source of health care? Or for that matter, why not say every American should have health care? Why
have
affordable, regular source? These qualifiers are huge red flags for the fact that they don't actually think health care ought to be a right. Two, all Americans should be protected from financial devastation due to illness or injury. If you're earnest about number one, two is implied. So that's at best redundant, and at worst is sort of like a way of saying, I don't know. It's creating some kind of like moral limit, saying this is the sort of bare minimum thing we'll do. But again, number two is implied at number one. If everyone has affordable health care, then by definition, they won't have financial devastation. So number three is really just top bullshit. Number three, policies to achieve these aims must be economically responsible and win political support needed to ensure long-term stability. So this is a huge, huge signal to the myth of deficit concerns. So we have two things here. That economic responsibility is code for cannot be too large, too robust, and take care of too many people. And what's interesting, and someone noted this in my Minchies, they said, it's interesting that the first two statements are sort of normative claims, right? Every American should, all Americans should. The third one's a declarative statement of is a conditional declarative. So it's policies to achieve these must be economically. So two are sort of lofty ideals. One is a necessary axiom of the position itself.
Right.
Which reveals, I think, the sort of underlying politics of this, which are, again, like the sort of no labels corporate centrist, where we act like we have these sort of limited resources, scarce resources, and we have to find the money, right? This is all very neoliberal Obama era framing, that somehow we have to find the money, as opposed to the Bernie Sanders framing, which is, fuck you, this is a moral decision, we're going to pay for this.
Right.
And the nerds and wonks and the Josh Lymans of the world, who for some reason took over the party when really they should be at best middle managers, that these guys can go find the money, and that this is something that we're going to have moral leadership on and not try to get into the weeds about who pays for what.
Right.
And I don't know what this is trying to achieve. Again, the only logical explanation of what it can try to achieve is to try to take the wind out of the sails of the single payer movement.
Right. So I tweeted, just going back, that was great. I wasn't waiting for you to end that so I could say, I read you a tweet, but I just sounded like a kid who has their hand raised and isn't listening to what the other person's saying. Zachary Tracer is a guy at Bloomberg, by the way, who wrote that sentence about the volatile swings. Again, volatile swings is a reference to single payer and Medicare for all, right? And it's really framing it as a threat, like a volatile swing, and it's on the rise. It's on the march. Socialism is on the march, as the Republicans used to say about Obama and the Affordable Care Act, because, you know, Bernie Sanders' bill is Medicare for all bill is gaining popularity and strength. Now, As I said in my little Medium piece, which people can of course read, but I think it's a relevant point, is that if that's true, if they need to, if Medicare for All is growing in popularity and strength, then anything that's founded on about healthcare that doesn't incorporate that is clearly an ideologically motivated organization that wants to prevent single payer, right? Because if not, and I actually don't, it's kind of a psychology question, but I'm curious if they actually are opposed to it ideologically, if they are
Here's the thing. Hurt by Bernie Sanders
that they don't want anything with his fingerprints on it to succeed?
No. It's very simple, which is, and this is something I mentioned earlier, is that there that Medicare the ACA, Obamacare, is meaningfully more moral than the Republicans' alternative or what came first. That is objectively true. But it's important to understand that there is a large, huge industry that emerged from Obamacare in 2009. Healthcare insurance subsidies, you know, basically the government's underwriting a large corporate and for-profit industry, that there's huge incentive to protect that status quo and to not really do a meaningful overhaul. And they can, you know, they can read polls like you and I can. Again, the single payer is now popular. 53% of Republicans support it, upwards of 77% of Democrats support it.
Right.
It's where the momentum's going.
Right.
And they really need to preserve this sort of textbook, and I try not to use this word, but it's appropriate here, this textbook neoliberal public for-profit marriage that maintains the fundamental for-profit, you know, massively for-profit industry that the government kind of subsidizes as opposed to provides a meaningful balance to. They really, really want to hold on to that. And what this appears to me to be is an effort to do that. And people like John Favreau can rationalize this by saying, oh, well, you know, again, they can always do this sort of infinitely regressive, we'll never get the Republican support, so we have to support this shitty thing that I theoretically don't like, but how we have to, right. You know, we have to buck up and be realist, right? And
yeah.
We're the real adults in the room and you're just a bunch of children.
Yeah, exactly.
And that he's sort of providing this kind of faux progressive credibility to it. Because
yeah,
in his mind,
exactly.
You know, I don't know if he's being honest or not. Or being
that's my question. Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah.
But in his mind, this is sort of the best we're going to get. And if we try to go with single payer, it's going to be DOA because the Republicans will call it communism. But it's like, you know, of course, there's risk involved in both scenarios. We're all operating counterfactuals. Because again, it's possible they're right. It's possible single payer will be DOA and they'll waste all this political energy on it. And that politics operates on this gradient. But I don't think that's the case, and we're all just guessing. So why not go with a thing that's more moral and more right,
also,
and frankly, easier to defend because it's more coherent.
Yes. So
when Trump in the debate said that Obamacare was a big handout to insurance companies, he wasn't wrong. It is. It is one.
Woke Trump, ding ding ding. I need a sound effect for woke Trump. This Zachary Tracer is the journalist who wrote the piece in Bloomberg about U.S. of care, United States of care, which is like really funny and sounds like a right-wing term for liberals or something. United States of care. Anyway, he wrote about that piece and I tweeted, since your question, when you write about the organization heading off increasingly volatile swings in healthcare policy, where did you get that from? And he said, I don't want to speak for them because they haven't ID'd policies yet. This is what Zach Tracer, the journalist, is saying, because they haven't ID'd policies yet. But I think A. Slavitt might be able to weigh in. A. Slavitt is Andy Slavitt. So actually, Andy Slavitt responded, happy to discuss. The best ideas need to be on the table to get healthcare for everyone. We are not out to derail anything. And then I said to him on Twitter, I appreciate what you've done for ACA Obamacare, and given that single payer is supported by a majority of the country, it should definitely be on the table. But is an organization co-founded by Bill Frist, MD, really going to consider single payer? And he said, these are fair questions, Katie. We need to make sure that the many people who are fighting for single payer know where US of Care stands. That's the organization. Founders' views purposely irreconcilable. Several support, some wouldn't. Org wants single payer and all best ideas on table and to make happen, not oppose. That makes no sense, though. Are they going to kick off the people on the organization's board? Are they going to kick them off if they oppose single payer?
It's not clear. I think that there's this it's a last ditch effort by the West Wing crowd within the Democratic Party that wants to believe in this sort of grand compromise, this sort of above the fray, you know, bipartisan solutions. This is shit that Chuck Schumer talks about.
Yeah,
this, like, he keeps going on about bipartisan solutions to,
right, which didn't work
to health. The Democratic Senate Twitter account tweeted out that, you know, Americans want bipartisan solutions. It's like, no, they don't. That's not a thing anybody wants. They want fucking single payer.
Yeah.
Bipartisan solutions is a meaningless process thing. It doesn't mean anything. It's like today when David Weigel tweeted out the Dem strategy for the tax cut. It was Joe Crowley said, quote, Democrats are for creating economic security for the American people. We're not in favor of putting the country further out of balance. When he was asked about whether or not they would oppose the tax cuts in 2018, and he said, and David Weigel at the Washington Post paraphrased his response by saying that they would not run against the tax cuts because they want to, quote, restore balance. I mean,
yeah, that's really
– again, as I said on Twitter, it's the Democrats – want to hold a pep rally and invite everyone to come and root for a tie. This is not how politics works.
Right.
So there's this naive thing. We'll say, why are they so bad at this? And of course, the reality is they're not bad at it. This is their primary social function. Their social function is to operate as a valve against left-wing populism.
Right.
And it's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. Like Thomas Frank says, it's not that these people are spineless and don't know how to get what they want. It's that they don't actually want it.
Or I'll put it this way. It's not that they don't, you know, they probably do want earnestly some sort of, you know, expansion of ACA, but between single payer healthcare that radically undermines a large section of the economy, a for-profit section economy, and also sends a warning to other industries, between that and the Republicans' watered down version of ACA, I think most establishment Democrats would absolutely take the Republican plan.
Why is
it's
that?
Not that
though?
It's not that they want it. It's that the alternative, which is because a single payer healthcare in this country would radically alter the dynamic of power between the classes. I mean, it truly would. I mean, if you had, it's like if people were not living paycheck to paycheck and living in constant, you know, being constantly absolutely fucking paranoid about where they were getting their healthcare, the dynamic between employer and employee would change overnight. The power between the rich and the poor would change, you know, not fundamentally maybe, but it would change pretty significantly.
Right.
And nobody wants that. Nobody wants to have a situation where we walk into a hospital and walk out and don't pay anything. It fundamentally changes the power dynamic of this country and puts in the public sector something that makes up 1/6 of the economy.
Right. Yeah, rights. Yeah, when things are considered entitlements, that should be rights and are rights in every other industrialized country. That makes a bit of a change. But there are a couple reasons that it's stupid to not pursue single payer. One is that it gets out the vote, right? Like, that excites people. And yeah, there's some stigma around it. But, you know, a senator named, a Democratic socialist was able to do pretty well and polled better than Hillary Clinton did against Trump. I'm not relitigating. I'm just explaining the popularity of someone who identified as a Democratic socialist, right? This is a very easy thing and that people can wrap their minds around. I want healthcare. I don't want to die. The other thing is that every movement pushes you. What is it? You shoot for the stars, you get the moon. I really hope that works. The stars are farther away, right? So the idea—it's
actually—it's actually you shoot for the moon, you land amongst the stars. I think the expression predates our basic understanding of astronomy.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, either way,
doesn't matter.
I
get the point. You're technically correct.
I mean, the idea that you—and I was trying to think of comparable things. Like, imagine this with same-sex marriage. It's like, oh, we can't get.
Well, I'll give you an example. This is the example. Hello. Katie? Hello? That's not good.
the good news is Adam Johnson and I continue our conversation. We were reconnected after that minor technical issue. And to access the rest of my conversation with Adam, just go to patreon.com/thekatiehalpershow. Again, that's patreon.com/thekatiehalpershow. Or if you're already a Patreon subscriber, you now know how to access them in whatever program you use to play your podcasts. We will also be talking to healthcare writer Tim Faust about his thoughts on U.S. of Care, United States of Care, and stand by for even more bonus, which is the audio from my appearance on the Jimmy Dore show, as well as the audio from my appearance on Struggle Session, the podcast that I mentioned during the show. And coming soon is our interview with Natalie Shore, who also writes about healthcare. She gives us her thoughts. And it's really cool because these healthcare writers and Adam Johnson basically break down the language of the United States of Care mission statement. Thanks for listening to The Katie Halper Show. You can hear The Katie Halper Show every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on WBAI. That's 99.5 FM or WBAI.org. You can also find us on SoundCloud and iTunes. Make sure you rate and review us on iTunes. The Katie Halper Show is produced by Florence Burrow Adams with help from Joshua Bregman. Our theme song is by The Ballet.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.